right, Romans chapter 6, 1-4. Would you stand with me? And if you're our guest, we say this phrase at the end of the main text reading. It's just the phrase, the very words to distinguish God's word from my own. Here's what the scripture says. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You could be seated. So like I said earlier, today we start this new series called Do This. And we're going to focus on the two ordinances or things God chose to say to us that we need to do regularly to remember Jesus and his work. And they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. And today we'll focus on baptism. We actually have two people getting baptized at 11 o'clock, and we're excited about that. So if you want to peek in the door at the next service, I'd love for you to do it just so you can see this all play out. There's a lot of confusion about baptism in the world today, and specifically in the South, where people grew up in sort of religious environments or religious homes, that kind of thing. Maybe they grew up in church, but there's a lot of confusion. For instance, some people baptize infants, and some people say you can't baptize infants, and some people sprinkle and say that's enough, and other people say no, you have to get fully wet in order to be considered, you know, baptized. And some people baptize very young children, and some people won't baptize children until after they're 12 years old or after they're 16 years old. And there's all these like different ideas about baptism. And actually, I think it causes confusion. Some people think there's like magic in this water. I hope you know that we got this from the League City tap. Like, it just came from there. And there's nothing magic in the water at all. And so there's just a lot of confusion about baptism. Some people think, like, if I was baptized at some particular point in my life, no matter how I live or who I follow, if I was baptized, that's somehow going to be the magic that gets me into heaven. And while baptism is significant, in fact, if you follow Christ, you should be baptized. There's just a lot of confusion about it. And so I want to clear that up today. And to do that, I'm just going to use this passage of scripture that I think is important. There are many we could have used, but I want to use this one because it's very clear as Paul is teaching the Roman church what it means to continue on in the life. This is actually in the middle of a passage of scripture that is mostly talking about being dead to sin and alive to God. Like, so since we've become Christians, we should not keep on sinning. I mean, that's the motive of this passage of scripture, that we should be becoming more holy as the days go on, that we shouldn't continue in this pattern of sin. But buried in this section of scripture, the answer to the question, what is the meaning of baptism biblically, is made very clear in Romans chapter 6, 3-4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So let's just talk about this for a second. Baptism is about identifying with Jesus in every way. It's about identifying with Jesus in every way. So this is identifying with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. This has huge implications for our life that I think we don't take seriously enough. Huge implications. When you talk about identifying with Jesus in his death, just think about his death for a minute. His death was a crucifixion on a cross. It was at street level. It was humiliating. It was brutal. And it ended in not just his death, but his burial in a tomb. And this is not just dead. This is dead, dead. Okay? So when we talk about, when we read Romans 6, and do you not know that all of us have been baptized, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. What we're saying there is that baptism is helping us identify with the fact that when we come to Jesus, we are choosing to die to sin and self, to die to it, and not just die a little bit, to be dead, dead to sin and self. Now, that may seem like a simple concept, but you just look at the way that people who have been baptized live versus what this passage of Scripture says. Is there a difference? I don't know how many people I've talked to in the United States of America that says, yeah, I was baptized when I was 5, or I was baptized as an infant, or I was baptized, you know, at this particular point in my life. But I look at their life, and there's no evidence that they died to sin and self. There's no deadness in their life. And this is clearly saying that, don't you know that we've all been baptized into Christ Jesus? We were baptized into his death. We were crucified. We took up our cross. We denied ourselves, and we followed him. We died to sin and self. And so we identify with him in his death. That's what baptism is. But also we identify with him in his burial. It wasn't just that he died, but that he went into the ground. He went into a tomb. And so when we are baptized, we're saying that our old self that was alive before we died has been placed in a tomb, and it is in the past. Now the hope here, when you begin to think about this, okay, so I'm identifying with Christ in his death. I've been buried with him in his death. It's his death that counts. It's his burial that counts. And it's the hope in the burial. The hope is in his sacrificial death, right? So you may remember or recall from Scripture that the wages of sin is death. Remember that. Romans 3, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we hope in his death and his burial, we're hoping in the fact that this perfect Jesus sent from God, hung on a cross, buried in a tomb, that his death, because my death, the death of this body is the effect of sin. Okay, all of us will experience that. But his death, his burial is different because he never sinned. And so because he's been placed in this tomb and he is dead, dead, he's buried, then we can have hope that when we are also identifying with him in that death, then our old self is being covered by his death, his burial, and it's dead. And that's what we're saying when we're baptized. I identify with him and his death. It's like when we're standing there before we're baptized, it is the old Brian. It's a picture of the old Brian. But when we lower someone down into the baptismal waters, it's a picture of the burial. It's a picture of putting Jesus in the tomb. It's like the old self that was there is now going away and it's being buried. See? And so, burial. We identify with him in his burial, but also we identify with him in his resurrection. Verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. See, this is the great hope, is that we, as we identify with him in his death, we identify with him in his burial, and we are buried symbolically in baptism. We are raised to walk in what we say is newness of life. It's like a new self It's a picture of the new self coming up out of those waters. When we say we identify with Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that means we also identify with the Jesus that came up out of the grave. That he is the first fruits, according to the scripture, of the resurrection, and that we too, who have confessed him as Savior and Lord, will come up out of the grave. We are putting our hope in that, and we're saying, as Paul is saying here, I don't need to keep on sinning because my old self is dead, it's been buried, and my new self has been raised not only to live eternity, but to walk in newness of life. Now, to walk means like I confess Christ as a child, and my life has been a roller coaster of good days and bad days. I mean, when you talk about, you know, singing a song that talks about so just wrought with a heart that is prone to leave God, and my life would show that, would demonstrate it. The human heart is prone to leave God. And what Paul is saying here is that part of us, we are putting to death. That we don't have to keep on sinning because we've been baptized with him in his death. We've been buried and we've been raised to walk in newness of life, which connotates eternal life after this body dies, but it connotates newness of life, a new way of walking even now. Like if you're 13, you don't have to wait till you're dead and go to heaven to have this new way of walking. Because of Jesus, you can have it now. And that's the picture. That's what baptism means biblically. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, you can count on the fact that those of you who have confessed Christ as Savior and Lord, that you've repented, you've come to him to be made clean, to be made righteous, that you've been baptized in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. You can count on the fact that the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who got Jesus up out of the grave is making your life new. And will sanctify you and glorify you. You will live forever. That's really good news. That's what I was waiting for. It's like, dude, this church, where did they go? Come on. That's the best news you've heard all week, I guarantee you. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So that is the meaning of baptism biblically. But baptism is also, it's a milestone. And it's just reminding us of three things. And I'll repeat myself with Romans chapter 6, 5 to 7. For if we have, and you can continue on here in your scripture in Romans chapter 6. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. So this is the thing. If the wages of sin is death, and you've already died in Christ, he paid the price, and therefore you've been set free. So you've been raised to walk in this new life. And Romans chapter 6, 5 and 7 is reminding us of the same three things that Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4 taught us, that we can bank on our certain resurrection. Secondly, that being united with Christ in death means that we are free from sin. Death was for sin. But because you've been baptized with Christ, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Because of his work, we've been set free. And we're set free then to live our life to God. Look at the end of this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has who has died has been set free from sin. Romans 6, 10 and 11. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 states it this way. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to get you to raise your hand. How many of you have been baptized? That's a lot of you. No, you don't have to raise your hands with these questions. How many of you actually died? How many of you are actually buried? Like that old self died. Or maybe you just look at it a different way. Like how many of you are practically struggling with the same cycle of sin that you were always struggling with even before you confessed? That nothing's changed, that maybe you've become sort of a grace abuser thinking, okay, because I confess Jesus is Lord, I can sin however much I want. It's the opposite of what Paul is saying. He's saying this baptism thing is a picture of our death to ourselves, that we don't keep on sinning, that we actually become more holy because we died to self. We've been set free from sin. We've been raised to walk in new life. So how's your new life? All of you that raised your hands. Now, let's talk about some practical issues relating to baptism. Because people have questions. And I can understand the questions, actually. Why should someone get baptized? Let's start here. Why should someone get baptized? I'll give you three reasons. One, to indicate confession of sin and belief in Jesus as the only way for salvation. Number one, to indicate confession of sin and belief in Jesus the only way to salvation. Like you should be baptized when you come to a place that you're willing to put your trust in God and confess all of your sin to him and trust him to clean all of that up, to make you new, like the word says he's going to, and to give you the promise of heaven because of his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Like when you come to that point of belief and you're willing to humble yourself and confess your sin and humble yourself before King Jesus and realize that he is the doorway to eternity, the doorway to God, the path of righteousness himself. That's why someone should get baptized. Here's the second reason. Someone should get baptized, according to the scripture, to identify with Christ and the community of faith. To identify with Christ and the community of faith. Do you know why we'd make baptism public? It's because it's supposed to be public. It's supposed to be public so that the church of Jesus Christ, those who say, I'm disciples of Jesus, that I have confessed him as Savior and Lord, that I've been identified with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we can celebrate that you are also identifying with him. It's supposed to be public. Oftentimes, over 20 years of ministry, people have asked me, like, can we do a private baptism? Because I do not like to stand in front of people. You don't have to stand in front of 1,000 people, but you have to stand in front of people because other believers, other people who have walked this path, because this is you saying publicly, like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I identify with Christ and his death, burial, his resurrection. And it's for the church. It's to bolster their mission. You know, Jesus put us on mission, and the mission was go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So every time we see this happen, we see the church on mission, right? It bolsters what God is doing in the church, and that's what it's meant for. It's It's meant for someone confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord, identifying with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and with the community of believers. And the third reason why someone should get baptized is to follow Jesus. There is a rabbinic thing that says we should, if we are going to be like our rabbi, which I don't know if you knew Jesus was a first century rabbi. And he was Jewish. Is that new to anyone? Okay. He was Jewish, and he was baptized according to the scripture. John the Baptist baptized him. John the Baptist was not Southern Baptist. He was Jewish. Does everybody know that? Right? Just make sure this church at least gets that right. He was baptized in the wilderness, and Jesus went out to him, and John had said to Jesus, pointed at Jesus, said, this is the one greater than me. He's the one that will take away the sins of the world. And Jesus asked John to baptize him, to immerse him. And when we follow Jesus, we follow Jesus the way Jesus walks. And so Jesus was baptized. So we're baptized. It's like our first step of obedience, our first step of following. You know, as Americans, we struggle with the idea of following. I'll just be honest. I do. Like, I'd like everyone to follow me, but don't tell me where to go. You know, that kind of thing. Anybody else with me? Like, that kind of, we struggle with following. And the Christian life is all about following. The whole thing is Jesus said, come follow me. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're gonna have to take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me, right? If you wanna be my disciple. And so the whole thing is about follow. So this is like our first step. Like we're saying, look, I'm on the Jesus path. We get disciples. So that's why someone should be baptized. When should someone get baptized? When's an important question because lots of churches do lots of different things. So when should someone get baptized. By the way, all these things that I'm saying, I'm just pulling from scripture. None of this is to discount any of your experience, but to simply clarify the issue for you. When should someone get baptized? It should be after repenting of sins and confessing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. After repenting of sins and confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord. This is something that is intensely personal and intensely public. At the same time, intensely personal because nobody in the world can make you confess with your mouth to Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. It's the Holy Spirit who woos you to that point. It is you who leans into that and says, I want to follow. Okay, but nobody can do that for you. It's intensely personal. Baptism doesn't come until after that, according to the scriptures, right? So it should be, someone should get baptized after repenting of sins and confessing Christ as Lord. Sometimes I worry that we don't take this one at the level of importance in which we should. For instance, we're not trying to get people to say magic words so that we can get baptism. We can say we baptized 80 people this year. What we want to see is people humble themselves before Jesus, deny themselves and follow him, identify with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay. So what would be awesome is to see teenagers and adults confessing with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. It's awesome to see kids and parents leading their kids to Christ. But we should baptize after repentance of sins, after someone confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. Let me say a word about infant baptism. Some of you in the room, likely because of where we've grown up and all of our backgrounds and everything, some of you were baptized as an infant. There's no place in scripture that okays or says infant baptism is baptism, is the way to go. I've scoured it. I've looked at it. It's not there. Infant baptism is mostly for your parents, honestly. If you were baptized as an infant, it's your parents and your grandparents, your aunts and uncles and everybody else that remembers that, and they'll tell you, like, you were baptized as an infant, so you're good to go. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Now, the Bible teaches that we identify with Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. An infant can't do that. An infant can't make that kind of decision to say, I want to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. It's not that it wasn't meaningful. It was meaningful to your family. It's meaningful, likely, to you that you were baptized as an infant. But the biblical baptism that we're talking about here, the one that says, I follow Christ, is not an infant baptism. It's a confessional baptism, which requires some growth, some understanding, some humility that does not come in infancy. Let's talk about this on very young baptism. So baptizing a three-year-old, a four-year-old, how do we deal with that, right? So I just want to tell you a little bit of my story. I was baptized when I was 6 years old. Okay, the pastor preached on hell, I remember that, and he said, if you want to get saved, come on down here, and I bolted before my parents had a chance to grab my belt, and I filled out a card, and I got baptized, because I didn't want to go to hell, which is a good thing. That's a good motivator, by the way. You don't want to go to hell. And I at that young age, I believed Jesus was the only way to not go to hell. But that was my childlike understanding. That's it. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus is the way not to go to hell. Give me Jesus. That was it. I was baptized. I've thought about that my whole life. When I was 13 years old, I was in the pastor's office wondering if that was real. I remember that. I remember having a conversation. He assured me, like, he came with a childlike faith, and that was real. But throughout the years, I've often struggled because I can barely remember it. Can barely remember it. And so I've often struggled in my growth with, like, was that it? Was that not? I've had to go back to over and over and over again. Okay, I made a simple childlike decision in faith, and that was enough. That was enough according to the scripture. But I've struggled with it. And so I would just call you parents and grandparents to this. A four-year-old can say, I believe in Jesus. But if you baptize them when they're 4 years old, they're probably going to struggle later with their, and not just because of my story, but the countless stories of people that I've heard that have been baptized very young. In fact, in some places in the world today, the churches won't baptize until they're after 16 years of age, only because they want to make sure that that milestone is memorable, that they're actually confessing, they're actually repentant of sins, all of that. And so the parent, you are the primary faith trainer. And so we trust you. And we come alongside and we verify a simple childlike faith here. But I'm saying to you is lean into the tension sometimes of saying, wait, let's wait a little longer. Let's disciple a little bit. Let's wait a little bit longer. Because there will be a time that you will know it's right, right? Now, as parents, I have my oldest daughter was baptized twice. Once because I wrote a book that said by seven, they come to a place where they can do it. Guess when she got baptized? Seven. She didn't read the book, but when she was 16, she had a real encounter with Jesus. Different than her parents. Now, it's our job, man. It is our job to invest it in them, pour in them. I'm not saying take your hands off the wheel. Do not hear that. What I'm saying is be wise. Watch for the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Not just the magic words, but the actual conviction of sin. Confessional by nature. I need Jesus. Right? It's different You put a kid in timeout and they say, I'm sorry, than it is when they come to you confessing sin. That's different, right? And so just think about those things when we talk about being baptized very young. There, I read a story this week of, I could picture this in my mind, two kids in the green room. One was seven, but his four-year-old brother was back there with him. And he looked up, the four-year-old looked up at the pastor and said, I want to get alphabetized with my brother. Right? And the desire is there. I mean, they're growing. We want the desire to be there, but we want them to understand what's going on. Death, burial, resurrection is going on so that we can walk in a new life. Fourth thing, just practical thing. Let's talk about being baptized again. When should you be baptized again? So as you know, we take these groups to Israel once, sometimes twice a year. And in Israel, you can rent a white gown and you can get in the Jordan River. And we could baptize, and we could stand there all day and baptize all of you that are sitting here today. But guess what? There's nothing in that magic in that water either. And so when we go there, I tell people, I just told you, we baptize two. Most groups baptize everybody. Why do we baptize two? Because they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in their heart that God was raised from the dead somewhere along the way. They were ready to be baptized, okay? When should you be baptized again? I think that you should be baptized again when you look back and you think, my baptism was religious, but it wasn't right. My baptism was religious, but it wasn't right. Like the geography, getting baptized in Israel, I think that sounds cool, I guess, and all that kind of stuff. It's not the geography. It's not the church building you were in. It's the condition of your heart at which time you came to the milestone of baptism in your life. Okay, so when your baptism was religious, but it wasn't right, according to what I've just read to you from the scriptures, that you weren't identifying with Jesus and his death and his burial and his resurrection. And it was religious, but it wasn't right. That may be when you need to be baptized again, right? People struggle with this issue all the time, especially when Christians who were, and I'm generalizing here, but who were baptized at a young age and then struggle with sin later in their life. And they wonder, okay, should I be baptized again? Because now I've repented of this bigger sin than I had when I was 6 years old or 7 years old or whatever it was when I was baptized. The issue is not the size of the sin. Okay, when I was 6 years old, I knew my sin, which consisted of, at that time, one time I said the S-H-I-T word on the playground and had to go stand on the wall during recess. And I also kissed a girl in the concrete tunnels. That was about it. Talked back to my mom occasionally. I was afraid to talk back to my dad. But when I came to Christ, I knew like that sin would send me to hell. When I heard the message, the gospel message, okay, I needed a new life. But when I'm 46, I've sinned a lot bigger than that. It's in 40 years, unfortunately. See, it's not the size of the sin that would cause you to get rebaptized again. It's the condition of your heart and the confession of your soul when you were baptized. Does that make sense? Is everybody clear? Because I think this issue is so muddy for religious people. It's so muddy. So when should you be baptized again? When your baptism was religious, but it wasn't right. So today, in your worship guide, and if you don't have one, you can get one. When you go out the door, they're on these plexiglass stands on the way out the door. But in your worship guide, there is a card that says, do this. do this. And all it says is, I would like to be baptized. And you put your name on there, or if there are other people in your family that say they want to be baptized, you put your phone number, your email, so that we can follow up with you this week, and we can talk about these issues. My sense is, in any Sunday morning congregation, there are people that should be baptized. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you have confessed Christ as Lord, but you were never baptized because somebody said something like, you know, the water doesn't save you. And you said to yourself, well, I don't need to go stand up in front of those people then because I'm already saved and Jesus won't count it against me. But if you want to follow Jesus, you need to do this. This is our act of obedience. It's our first step. So maybe you've never been baptized, and maybe today you just need to say to yourself, like, I need to die to myself and to sin, because it is my I know where it's leading me. And you just need to come to Jesus and confess him as Savior and Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you need to pray, and you need to ask him to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness and be Lord of your life, to take over. Well, then pray, and your next step is baptism. Maybe baptism was your parents' idea, but not yours. Maybe for one reason or another, maybe it was your parents' idea, but not yours. You were baptized as an infant, or you're very young and you don't even remember, it wasn't a thing for you. You just did it. You need to put your name on this card, and you just need to follow Jesus in a confessional way. And maybe your baptism was religious, but it wasn't right. You know, like, I didn't die to myself. It wasn't a picture of me confessing Christ as Savior and Lord, identifying with him in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and being raised to walk in a new life. This is the truth about baptism. And it is a milestone that is supposed to be significant, that is to be celebrated in your life because of the work of Christ in your life. You know, if someone gets baptized, we're not clapping saying, good job, way to go in the water and come out. We're clapping saying, thank God for someone who is walking in a brand new way. And so maybe, just maybe, God will call you today to be baptized. If that's something you want to do, I want to encourage you to fill this out here today. Do not wait. Let us have a conversation with you to help you clarify, like, what is my next step? What do I need to do? Make sense? Okay. Would you bow your